evening, truth seekers. Mike Malloy here on the Mike Malloy Radio Network. By God, we'll call it something. Welcome to the program. Sorry it took us to Wednesday to get back up. Yes, on Sunday we did have a snowstorm here. Yes, on Monday we did have problems with transmission. But everything from that point to this moment has been an effort by certain powers that be to keep us off the air. And, of course, once again, we defeated the bastards and overcame it all. So here we are, and here we'll be every night for the foreseeable future. And we are going to be refiguring the Mike Malloy website. And there will be information there that will show up soon about the new situation. Kathy and I are now in this on our own, and no more Nova M's, no more Air America's, no more On Second Thoughts, no more bat squeeze whatsoever. And I want to thank the people at Westwood One who assisted us greatly today, and a couple of engineers who really did some yeoman's work, and a couple other people who shall remain unnamed at this point, who really made a difference in getting this thing back together.
And there's no more ibuprofen in my little bottle that I keep here next to the desk, so
yeah, you,
everybody be kind.
You ate them today like they were M&Ms, didn't you? All right, now, harumph. One thing I must tell you tonight, and for a couple of nights, we're going to be working without telephones. There's no phone number for you to call. Now, a lot of you... A lot of you will immediately applaud that and say, well, we don't like the calls anyway. You know, incoming calls to a talk show are you know, part of the program. I realize that historically on my show, sometimes we go for an hour or two without taking a call. But by the middle of next week, we'll have that that set up, too. So for the next couple of nights, just kick back and enjoy uninterrupted BS from your humble and obedient servant here, Mike Malloy. A lot of effort to prevent us from doing the program, and I'm not coming at you from a paranoid point of view. Something weird happened over the past several days. I'm not going to dwell on this because we've got issues to get to, but one of the manifestations of this weirdness that really is sweeping through the blogosphere and media right now and the political sphere is this incredibly intense right-wing attempt to destabilize Obama, the Obama administration, but also any operation that even to a slight degree supports the Obama administration, or any organization, media, civic, I don't care what it is, that is not on board with these parasitic sons of bitches who now represent the Limbaugh Party. It is a broad-scale, full-frontal attack, and you need to be aware of it. I know all of us, Kathy and I included. We're all focused right now on our job, if we have one, on survival, which is becoming more and more a day-to-day event for so many of us in this country now, thanks to these filthy Republicans, and the capitalist system, which is dead. It is the Republican Party is dead and capitalism is dead. They both died right about the same time. It is now the Limbaugh Party and some form of hybridized democratic socialism or something is being born, not just in this country, but globally. Capitalism had its several hundred year run. It is now finished. You better get your mind around that and start dealing with that, because that is a fact. No matter what country, no matter what economic system is in place there, at various gradients of capitalism, it's dead. It's ended. It's over. I'm hoping that democratic socialism will take its place. But capitalism is dead, and I think that's part of the reason there is such a spittle-producing reaction from the reactionaries in this country. And around the world, but in this all I'm concerned with right now is this country. The the efforts being made by slobs like Rush Limbaugh, absolute, I mean, just complete. It's fun to watch. I mean, it really is. Don't get me wrong. Limbaugh is as much of a threat to this country as, oh, I don't know, Martians. He really thinks he is has a big effect on politics in this country. He has a big effect in more ways than one on these whiny-ass little Republicans who just can't give him enough of what Monica gave Bill Clinton. It's astonishing to watch, but it's also, it really is kind of funny, if you allow it to be. Now, over the weekend, I didn't allow it to be funny very much at all. On Saturday, the day before this storm really hit here, you know, I'm flipping through, I very seldom go through television on Saturday, but I, you know, I knew this convocation of nutballs in Washington was going on, this conservative collection of jerks had gotten together to play with each other. It was astonishing. So I flipped on, thought, well, maybe there'll be some kind of news from this gang of cretins. And there he was! Rush Limbaugh! Oh, my God, it looked like he was trolling in a disco. He must be getting horny. Maybe he can't go back to the Dominican Republic and have sex with underage teenage girls. There he was! In his black sport coat, in his black shirt, open down to here. Oh, my Christ, spare me. Spare me, Rush Limbaugh. Disco Rush! It was incredible. And watch him bounce around. Well, okay, that was the humor part. Now, when I first tuned in, I thought, oh, Jesus, they're playing some sound bites. But it kept going and going. And all of a sudden, I realized, wait a minute, it says live. So I watched this snake oil salesman, this degenerate, this combination of Goebbels and Donald Duck, for about 30 minutes. I thought, I can't take this. So I got on the phone and called CNN, called into the guts of CNN, since I'm a former writer-producer there. I've got phone numbers into the guts. And I got hold of a supervising producer and said, what the hell is going on here? What are you guys doing? Wall-to-wall coverage of this freak with no commercials? You're not even going to commercial break? The only person that you do this for is the President of the United States. What is going on? Well, the guy I talked to, who shall remain nameless, said, well, Mike, we had nothing to do with this. This order came direct from Jonathan Klein. Jonathan Klein is the president of CNN. It was his decision. Now, you would expect this on this phony-ass Fox News channel. This is what they're all about. But CNN? So if you want to complain, I realize this is old stuff. Christ, it's already Wednesday. I feel like I've been in a twilight zone for 3 days. But if you want to complain about this lard-ass who had wall-to-wall coverage on CNN, again, the best way to look at him is what he is. He's a comedian. He's a jokester who is so full of himself, literally, figuratively, at some point he's going to burst, and there's going to be blood and guts all over the walls. But the fact that he's trolling for a woman is just like, oh, my God, where's Darren Kagan when you need her, right, Raj? But there he was with his black shirt and his black sport coat with those great big round porky pig jowls and the little buck teeth going on. And every time the camera would pan across the audience, these brain dead people, this audience, this crazed collection of droids, you know, and they would all rise to their feet. Yes, Rush. Oh, my God. Can we come up and do you, please? Oh, we love you. We love you. We love you. You know, I'm sitting there going, I don't believe this. This is like a Woody Allen version of the night of that Hermann Goering met Joseph Goebbels and decided to have a baby together. It was just astonishing. Oh, and everything on him was shiny. It was all so shiny. You know, his nose, his pate, his shirt. Oh, yeah, I sat there and took notes on this guy. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, my God. I can't believe this. Okay, that's enough. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. This is Mike Malloy on the Mike Malloy Radio Network.
He watches C-SPAN, so you don't have to. It's more Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. And then on Sunday, before the heavy snow down here started to take down power lines and wipe out satellite television transmissions, I switch over to Judas Stephanopoulos' program at ABC. And who do I see? Karl Rove? There's a guy who is in contempt of Congress. That means utterly in contempt of the American people, whose efforts at destroying the country are coming out daily. And George Stephanopoulos puts this son of a bitch on ABC with George Will sitting across and Katrina Vandenhoeve from Nation Magazine. How did Katrina sit there and not vomit blood all over this rat bastard? There he was, Karl Rove. On ABC's This Week with Judas Stephanopoulos. Unreal. So, anyway, the effort to utterly destroy dialogue, or in this political dialogue, it is a death struggle right now. And a lot of it is going on where you and I are not fully aware of it. I wouldn't be aware of it except I'm in this business. And from these half-assed blogger types to the television talk shows to the Limbaugh Party, people like John Boehner, who is the Senate or House Minority Leader for the Limbaugh Party, all of these people are launching full-scale, full-frontal attack on everything in this country that represents the American way, that represents saving our system, our democratic system. They lust after fascism the same way Limbaugh lusts after a 14-year-old girl. It's I don't know. I
get lost for words here. I don't know exactly what to say. I just know that when I stand up in front of all you people with my shirt open down to here, what do you think that means? What do you think that means, huh?
So, one last thing on the pig man, and then I want to move on. I got an email from, we could go on and on here about how this poor little bastard, Michael Steele, the House Negro who has been elevated to the head of the Republican Party, apologizing. All these people. That's why it's the Limbaugh Party. There is no Republican Party left anymore. You have the Democrats and the Limbaugh Party. So that's how we're going to refer to it henceforth and here on. The Republican Party itself is dead. The Limbaugh Party and the Democratic Party, that's it. So we're not really going to get into that, except I got this email here from my friend Dr. Sachs, who is a musician, hence his email name. And he writes, Mike, how can the media and everybody take this guy seriously, referring to the fat man? Jesus, I mean, I'm glad the White House is taking him on for a change and setting him up to divide the Republicans. That's nicely done, but the TV media does not report what his fat ass has said for years. I know you keep up on his idiot quotes. Here's just a few, and they should read these on CNN. Regarding Michael J. Fox, you all remember this.
He's exaggerating the effects of the disease. He's moving all around and shaking, and it's purely an act. This is really a shameless Michael J. Fox act. Either he didn't take his medication or he's acting.
And Dr. Sachs writes, and TV takes this guy seriously? Here's some more.
Feminism was established so as to allow unattractive women easier access to the mainstream of society. We're not sexist, we're chauvinists. We're male chauvinist pigs, and we're happy to be because we think that's what men were destined to be. We think that's what women want. The NAACP should have riot rehearsal. They should get a liquor store and practice robberies. God damn it. Look, let me put it to you this way. The NFL all too often looks like a game between the Bloods and the Crips without any weapons. There, I said it.
Nice. Nice. The study came out a couple of days ago. This this cracks me up. I don't know who studies this stuff, but there is a apparently it was put together by someone named Benjamin Edelman at Harvard Business School, or is he just the guy quoting this? But the states that the so-called red states, the states states where conservatives are most dominant, are the states where most of the money is spent on internet pornography. Yeah, well, there's a surprise, right? This line from it's from NewScientist.com. Americans may paint themselves in increasingly bright shades of red and blue, but new research finds one thing that varies little across the nation: internet online pornography. And a new study of anonymized, there's a word for you, credit card receipts from a major online adult entertainment provider finds that most of it comes from the so-called red states. Why is that not a surprise?
With the truth. It's more Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. Apparently, like, I don't know if it's still breaking news. I'm not sure what time this happened today, but Karl Rove and Harriet Myers, the once and never Supreme Court Justice, are both going to testify. John Conyers, who is the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, issued a statement today. It says, in an agreement reached today between the former Bush administration and Congressman John Conyers, Jr., chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, Karl Rove and former White House counsel Harriet Myers will testify before the House Judiciary Committee and transcribe depositions under penalty of perjury. Oh, it's not going to be public? The committee has also reserve the right to have public testimony from Rove and Myers. It was agreed that invocations of official privilege would be significantly limited. Oh, really? Hey, way to go, John! In addition, if the committee undercovers information necessitating his testimony, the committee will also have the right to depose William Kelly, former White House lawyer who played a role in U.S. attorney firings. The committee also will receive Bush White House documents relevant to this inquiry. Under the agreement, the landmark ruling by Judge John Bates rejecting key Bush White House claims of executive immunity and privilege will be preserved. If the agreement is breached, the committee can resume the litigation. And then Conyers issues a statement that really is kind of milquetoast. But the invocations of official privilege will be significantly limited. They shouldn't be there at all, should they? Oh, well, we're just dancing, you know, we're just dancing with these thugs. So maybe that's why Karl Rove was on Judas Stephanopoulos' program on Sunday, because he has now agreed to provide sworn testimony. But this idea, you know, God only knows what the limitations are. You know, what should happen is simply the the chairman of the Judiciary Committee should send a couple of U.S. Marshals out, grab this round, moon-faced son of a bitch, bring him in, put him down in front of the committee, turn on the television cameras, and say, answer the goddamn questions. If you want to take the Fifth Amendment, go ahead. And if you don't do what we like, we're going to hold you in contempt and send you to Guantanamo, where they will beat your pasty ass blue. Now, answer the questions! No, you don't think so? That's not the American way? Really? Oh, porn in the USA. That's right. Excuse me. Microsoft and AOL, blah, 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 after controlling for differences in broadband internet use between and among the states and adjusting for population, blah, 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 the biggest consumer of online porn is, drum roll, please, thank you, Utah! Wait a minute. Utah, the home of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Utah? They average 5.47 adult content subscriptions per 1,000 home broadband users. No, I don't know what it means. The least was Montana. Montana was 1.92 adult content subscriptions per 1,000 home broadband users. Number 10 on the list was West Virginia. Number 41, Michigan. 8 of the top 10 pornography-consuming states gave their electoral votes to John McCain in last year's presidential election. Yabbada yabbada. And the other two, 8 of the 10, gave their votes to McCain. The other two that went for Obama were Florida and Hawaii. Churchgoers bought less online porn on Sundays, according to this finding. Residents of the 27 states that passed laws banning gay marriages boasted 11% more porn subscribers than states that don't explicitly restrict gay marriage. It just goes on and on. This is pretty fascinating. This is pretty fascinating. But the biggest consumer of pornography, when everything else is controlled for, population, age, gender, blah, 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 you know, all the things they control for, the largest producer of porn of the 50 states is Utah. Jesus, God. Well, there you go. All you reverends out there in Utah, not just the Mormons, but the rest of you freaks, you got something to talk about now on your Sunday sermons. Of course, the preachers are the ones that probably consume most of it, right? The punditocracy is having a field day proclaiming that we're all socialists now because of the efforts by the Barack Obama administration to save capitalism. See, it always falls on the backs of liberals or progressives to try to save this defunct, stinking economic system that although Marx is a little bit ahead of his time, I think we all can agree now, is on its deathbed. And the reason capitalism is on its deathbed, is first of all, because of its nature, but secondly, because of the people who have been running it. In this country, who's been running capitalism? Was it Obama voters? Was it the Democrats? Was it liberals? Was it progressives? No. Who's been running capitalism? The Limbaugh types, people from the Limbaugh Party have been running capitalism and smashing it, just using it as a club, along with the Bible, to beat the Christ out of everybody in this country, everybody on the planet. So now it's dying. And in order to make the death a little bit easier, because it is dying, there is no way to bring this filthy, defunct system, economic system back to life. It's just not going to happen. But in order to make the death a little easier, you know, for a lot of us, we're given morphine as we drift into the arms of Morpheus and into the universe. Morphine is, I understand, a wonderful way to go if you're not up for conscious dying. If you're up for conscious dying, that's supposed to be a kind of a trip, too. Or you can do like Timothy Leary and a lot of people, you know, as you're getting close to the end, say, all right, give me about 400 mics of really good orange sunshine, and here we go! you know, however you want to do it. But the morphine for the dying capitalist economic system is this rescue plan that's it's out there. And the only reason I think the Obama administration is doing this is because in its death throes, capitalism is dragging down so many of us who, while we participated in this monkey form of capitalism, really had no choice. And a lot of us are being dragged down, and being dragged down severely. The situation on the street out there, so to speak, is just becoming unbearable. And according to all the experts, we haven't even started. A lot of references are made to the Great Depression, so-called. This one's going to be worse. I have a feeling, and that's not necessarily my feeling. I'm the eternal optimist about certain things. But that's according to economists and people who allegedly know more about this sort of stuff than we do. As our economics correspondent, Prairie 2, has been reminding us for about a year, buy canned goods. Stock up. So it's going to be weird. Well, as the Obama administration keeps pumping the capitalist corpse full of morphine, more money, like AIG is a good example. I've read something today. The reason they have thrown $180 billion at AIG and will continue to keep it going is because this epitome of capitalist greed and filth and stench and mayhem and murder and global destabilization, AIG has its tentacles into everything. And the truth is, you know, for all the uneducated people out there in America who are saying, oh, let the goddamn thing fail, we don't care. No, 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 no. You don't want AIG to fail unless you are prepared to deal face up, head on, you and your wife and your husband, your kids, your grandkids, whatever, with a massive collapse of every economic system on earth and the attendant bloodshed that will come with it. If you really want that, then yeah, join the cheering section that says, let AIG die! God damn it, we don't need them! Sad part is, yes you do. The other sad part is, you, the taxpayer, already own about 70% of AIG. Whether or not that investment ever gives you a return, probably not. The return will be, you don't lose everything. You're going to lose about 80% of what you own. We all are. But you won't lose everything. Unless AIG tanks. More on this when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy on the Mike Malloy By God Radio Network.
Unfiltered, only with Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour, Newsweek magazine says we are all socialists now. Isn't that funny? Harold Meyerson, who happens to be a Democratic Socialist, writing at the Post, blogging at the Post, mentions that Newsweek, I guess one of their cover stories said, we are all socialists now. And Mike Huckabee, you remember him, the crazed fundamentalist preacher, said that we are creating socialist republics in the United States. Huckabee added that, quote, Lenin and Stalin would love this stuff, end quote. And according to Newt, the serial husband Gingrich, We are witnessing the Obama-era phenomenon of, quote, European socialism transplanted to Washington, end quote.
Well, smell my feet. Really, boys? Is that what we got going here? Socialism? Ooh! As Harold writes, first, as we survey the political landscape, what's striking is the advocate of any advocates of socialism. Where are they? At least as the term was understood by those who carried that banner during the capitalist crisis of the 30s. Yeah, where is it? Where are the people in the streets demanding socialism?
You know, back then, socialists and communists both spoke of nationalizing all major industries and abolishing private markets, abolishing the wage system. And today it's impossible to find a left-leaning party anywhere that has such demands or entertains such fantasies. Not even Hugo Chavez says such things. Yeah, the fact is, where do you hear that? You hear that from these members of the Limbaugh Party, Gingrich, Huckabee, all these right-wing fanatics who are trying their damnedest to turn this into the fascist states of America, and they're not going to. So what Obama is doing is trying to preserve the corpse. As we go through this transition from predatory capitalism as owned and operated by the Limbaugh Party to democratic socialism as owned and operated by the American people.
Oh, let's all be scared of that last one. Oh, my God. Democratic socialism as owned and operated by the American people? What does that mean, Mike? What does that mean?
Actually, not a whole lot, except key industries should be completely, totally nationalized. And we've talked about this before over and over and over again. Energy, what else, Kathy? Energy, transportation, military procurement. There's a couple more. Healthcare, and banking. And once that is done, then honest to God, entrepreneurs and little business owners and farmers and people who are really interested in seeing what they can do in a free and open society will then have a chance. They won't be ground into sausage meat by these fascist capitalist thugs who have just twisted the system into what has happened now. We saw it in the 30s. And all the bankers were hauled into D.C. to testify after the crash in the late 20s. Here we are again, and here's another decent human being like FDR, this time it's Barack Obama, trying to inject enough morphine into this dying, thrashing corpse to ease the pain. And, okay, that's cool, but it's dying, and it couldn't happen at a more opportune time. Everything in this country is changing. Everything on the planet is changing. We are in a technological landscape all of a sudden that means the predatory system of capitalism can't continue. It's dead. It's over. It's gone. It's just hanging on, and it's being kept alive because the Limbaugh Party is forcing air into its lungs.
Keep going. God damn it, we haven't stolen everything yet. Keep going.
You know, that sort of thing. Well, as Harold Meyerson writes, in the United States, conservatives have never bashed socialism because its specter was actually stalking America. That's not the reason. Rather, they've wielded the cudgel against such progressive reforms as free university education or free universal education, the minimum wage, or tighter financial regulations. That's who they go after. Their signal success, the conservatives, is to have kept the United States free from the horrible taint of universal health care. Yes! That's what they've done! And what's the result? We have the world's highest health care costs that is borne by businesses and employees that cannot afford them. We have nearly 50 million Americans with no coverage. We have infant mortality rates that are higher than those in 41 nations.
But at least we don't have that goddamn socialized medicine. Praise Jesus!
And the Limbaugh Party.
That's what the conservatives have given us. That's the only thing. Other than destroying, and I have to pat them on their asses for this. Thank you, boys, for murdering this predatory capitalism. Now, maybe, once it is dead, maybe average working class Americans like, me, maybe we'll have a chance now. Huh? And maybe everybody in this country who is not a member of the predatory capitalist Limbaugh party will have a chance now. You think? It depends on whether or not we understand what we've got to do. The Republican Party, like I've been saying, has to be murdered. Well, somebody heard me, and they murdered the damn thing. It's dead. Thank you. Whoever stuck the knife in, thank you. It is now the Limbaugh Party. We know exactly what it is, exactly what it smells like, exactly how bloated and sick it appears, and how shiny it is, and how it's on the prowl for the nearest woman or girl. That's the Limbaugh Party. Yeah!
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy program. The Harold Meyerson writing at the Washington Post about who you calling socialist bears some more investigation here. excuse me. The point Harold is trying to make is that the right wing, the Limbaugh Party, and the fascists. Oh, but I repeat myself, are trying to declare that we are now a socialist country because Barack Obama and his administration are trying to use morphine to make the death of capitalism a little bit easier for all of us to take. And so far, Obama is succeeding In its very initial stages. Each day there is new information coming out about what the Obama administration is doing to make this death as painless as possible for capitalism to begin with, but for all of us out here who were forced to subscribe to the capitalist system, who were told over and over again, if you don't like it here, leave. Of course, capitalism has ruled the world. Even in the old Soviet Union, in China, in Russia, it's capitalism that it was the world was told, well, this is communism or this is socialism. No, it wasn't. It was especially after the breakup of the Soviet Union. What we've witnessed is capitalism. Well, it's dying, and the death throes of this system scare the bejesus out of members of the Limbaugh Party because they don't know how to operate in a truly free society. Keep that in mind. All this garbage about freedom isn't free and all this stuff, all the bumper sticker mentality of the Limbaugh Party is nonsense. It's the kind of gobbledygook that comes out of people who are brainwashed, who are taught to say, I love Big Brother. 2 plus 2 is 5. Big Brother loves me. Freedom is slavery. War is peace. That's what the Limbaugh Party members are taught to say. Because if they ever really open their eyes, was it Robert? Not Robert Frank. I can never get the guy's name right. First name. The guy that wrote to What's the Matter with Kansas. He and other people have tried
Naomi Klein. They have tried to show how destructive it is to people who continue to support Republicans, well, not Republicans anymore, Limbaugh Party members, or predatory capitalism. It is utterly and absolutely destructive to the family, to health, to science, ultimately, actually, believe it or not, to you'll believe this easily, to spirituality. Spirituality is replaced by a kind of neo-fascist religious dogma that the Catholic Church has been practicing for centuries, and that is the dogma that says you are destined to be poor on this earth, but work for your slave master, do what you are told to do, and when you die, 70 virgins will be waiting for you. Oh, wait, that's Islam. And that's not even true either, I don't think. So, but Catholicism tells the adherents, especially in so-called third world countries, keep picking the bananas for the owner of the banana plantation. Keep cutting the sugar cane. Keep picking the cotton. The same thing they told the slaves in this country. And your reward comes after you die. Don't resist. That's pretty much what religion has worked hand in hand with predatory capitalism, to keep people absolutely, totally subjugated. And again, Diderot, who said, man will not be free until the last, the last priest is strangled with the entrails of the last king, or vice versa. The last king is strangled with the entrails, the guts of the last priest. And that's so true. It's so true. So anyway, the right wing in this country and the Limbaugh Party is peeing itself, just peeing all over itself with absolute uncertainty and fear. They're terrified of us. They're terrified of Obama. What's his approval rating up to now? 80%? The Limbaugh Party has been utterly and absolutely rejected. That's why the assault against Obama and anybody who dares speak out against these pigs is so full scale. And again, it doesn't make any difference if you are in print. Any kind of media that does not follow the Limbaugh Party line or this proto-fascism or neo-fascism is condemned as, marginalized, sent to the basement, condemned, called communists, whatever. Whatever. So in this transition period, as capitalism dies and democratic socialism is born, the efforts to prevent this from happening are sprouting up all over the place. The writer Harold Meyerson, at his blog at the Washington Post, says, give conservatives credit for their consistency. They attacked Roosevelt as a socialist, as they are now attacking Obama, when, in fact, Obama, like Roosevelt before him, is engaged not in creating socialism, but in rebooting a crashed capitalist system. The spending in Obama's stimulus plan isn't a socialist takeover. It's the only way to inject money into a system in which private sector investment, consumption, and exports, the other three possible engines of growth, are locked down. Investing more tax dollars in education and research and development is a way to use public funds to create a more competitive private sector. Keeping our banks from speculating madly with our money is a way to keep banking alive. If Obama realizes his agenda, what emerges will be a more social, sustainable, competitive capitalism. That's right, and its name will be democratic socialism. I added that. Meyerson's not saying that. Even Meyerson, who is a self-avowed democratic socialist, has to be careful to not scare away his readers. Because there's something in the American psyche that is just terrified. And it's from years and years and years, generations of being told capitalism good, socialism bad. The lies that we've been told, that we exist and operate within a free market system. Jesus Christ! Come on! It's no more a free market than the slaves who worked in the plantations in the South worked in the free market.
Well, I'll tell you what there, Rastus. If you don't want to go chop cotton today, okay, that's your choice. You don't have to do it.
Of course, I'll kill you, but it's still your choice. So you're a free man there, Rastus. Yeah. Okay, boss. So anyway, for conservatives, as Harold Meyerson writes, for conservatives searching for the culprits behind this transformation of capitalism, don't look for Democrats or socialists or communists. It was you, you dumb bastards. It's what you did to your own system, you predatory, thieving, greedy, stinking thugs. You did it. So don't stand there, you party of Limbaugh members, and talk about, well, Barack Obama is, he's destroying the country. He's bringing socialism. Please. All Barack Obama and his administration are trying to do, when you peel away the rhetoric, they're trying to help capitalism die as painlessly as possible. Just like people who are dying in a hospital, which is no place to die, but they're there to die because they don't know, and their family doesn't know how to help them die at home. And the hospital people want nothing to do with this scene, so they start pumping in the morphine. Here, this will ease the pain of your dearly beloved mother, father, sister, child, whoever it is that's laying in that bed. This will dull the pain. Dull the pain, my ass. That's how they kill people, right? It makes it easy to shoot through. Well, that's exactly what Barack Obama is trying to do. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
Microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's Mike Malloy.
It is 21 past the hour. So, I don't know where I got this, but this is very well put. Very well put. It's in response to Harold Meyerson's blog at the Washington Post site, Who You Calling a Socialist. The writer here, and I don't know who it is, says, what the crypto-fascists who denounce the meager assistance to the poor and unemployed fail to concede is that we've had socialism in this country for a very long time. It's just that socialism has been of a peculiar variety. Profits are privatized while the costs are socialized. What they lament is that our long-established form of socialism that benefited the wealthiest corporations is now being somewhat and modestly reversed to include the majority of the population instead of the elite minority to whom it has traditionally been funneled. All of our major arms manufacturers would be unable to survive in this so-called free market without socialism, nor would most of the high-tech firms that depend on the universities for their free research. The fact is that all of the high-tech gadgets we use daily were developed at public expense, then turned over to private industry when they became profitable. Also, the police, the military, fire departments, schools, libraries, all the legislatures and courts, and a whole host of other such organizations are all socialist, dependent upon tax dollars for their very being. Still, we have not learned the obvious. It is not socialism but capitalism that is the problem. To quote from a former Supreme Court Justice William O. Douglas, quote, "Those in power are blind devotees to private enterprise. They accept that degree of socialism implicit in the vast subsidies to the military-industrial complex, but not that type of socialism which maintains public projects for the disemployed and the unemployed alike. The great welfare scandal of the age concerns the dole we give rich people." End quote. Well, amen to that, brother. And that's one of the reasons there is an absolute full-scale assault going on right now against Obama, against Democrats, even if they are these scummy blue dog Democrats or Democrats who ought to get their ass out of the Democratic Party and go to the Limbaugh Party because they're not really Democrats. But this full-scale assault on anyone who speaks out, anyone who attempts to speak out, whether it's a liberal or progressive blog, liberal progressive website, liberal progressive radio program, it doesn't make any difference. The assault is there, and it's an absolute desperate attempt by the 2% of wealth holders in this country who are not satisfied with owning 98% of everything. They want it all. They want every bit of it. They want the kind of society that this country had in the 1830s and 40s and 50s. They want a slave society. And the sons of bitches will get it any way they can. If they can't get it here, they will prevail upon a proto or neo corporatist like George Herbert Walker Bush and Bill Clinton, and they'll get it by devising these horrific treaties like NAFTA and GATT. They'll set up organizations like the World Trade Organization or the Gang of Six or Seven or Nine, whatever it is now, to determine capitalist policy around the planet. And the rest of us can just eat dirt. Well, guess what? Take a look at what is happening. The whole house of cards that these predatory bastards have built for a second time is collapsing. Only this time, it's going to go down for the count. And I think this time, we have an administration in place and enough people in this country who now realize where the real thugs, the real domestic terrorists reside. And we're not going to let it happen a third time. And that's the reason that this upper 2% is throwing every resource they have, everything they can do, even to the point of manipulating the stock market to scare the bejesus out of everybody. They're doing everything they can. You know, this kind of power does not willingly commit suicide. It has to be murdered. It has to be.
Defining anger management, it's Mike Malloy.
I saw the boss come a-walking down along the factory line, saying, boys, we have to tighten up our belts. But he didn't look any thinner than he did a year ago, and I wonder just how hungry that man felt. He knows it ain't hard to get along with somebody else's troubles. They don't make him lose any sleep at night.
It is 25 before the hour, Malloy program here. Getting a lot of email inquiries about how this program is going to be reconfigured regarding podcasting and web streaming and so on and so forth. We have a partner organization that is going to be doing that for us, and we will be posting all the information as soon as we can on the MikeMalloy.com website. For folks who had subscriptions through NovaM, there will be some sort of something, I'm not sure what it is, worked out. Not that there's any obligation on our part to do that. That company is absolutely defunct. It's a black hole, just like the one that has succeeded it has become in very rapid succession. But there will be something that will be offered that I think people who have been loyal subscribers to this program for the past couple of years will find very satisfactory. Trust me on that. I just refuse to work with any kind of in any kind of an agreement with any company or any individual that is not progressive and willing to make it as easy as possible for folks to get this program. So it'll all be posted on our website. And thanks for your patience. Thanks for hanging around. It was a real white knuckler for the past three or four days, past couple of weeks. And our engineer tonight is Catherine Bay, who has had to have a very quick learning curve on how to be an actual broadcast engineer. I'm not talking about somebody that answers phones or plays bumper music. I'm talking about somebody who actually had to engineer this little studio so that it would configure with Westwood One satellite transmission and the delivery of this program to our affiliates and via the internet.
I just want you to know I'm not working completely without a net, even if I am working without a network. I've had our staunch and loyal, wonderful engineer from Phoenix, Ian Huff, behind me every second. Even though we're thousands of miles or hundreds of miles apart, he has certainly been directly helping me via the wonderful world of electronics. The internet.
And he's doing it for free.
well, we don't know. We're not sure, but he's doing it. Right. And God bless him for doing it, and that's coming from an atheist. So
anyway, information will be posted about what we're doing. And anyway, thanks for the loyalty. Thanks for hanging in there. And the emails tonight. And the ones from you little snot-nosed limbots. We got a suggestion that the Limbaugh Party, we got to have a name for it, since the Republican Party has in fact been murdered, and I think it was Limbaugh who killed it. I've been talking about the Republican Party has to be murdered for several weeks now, and I'll be damned if the big man didn't do it. He actually put a shiv right between the fourth and fifth rib and punctured the lung, a lung and the heart, and it's dead. And it's now the Limbaugh Party, and the people who are, we have two parties still in this country, Democrats and Limbaughts. And the Limbaugh Party is the one that is, of course, it's also going to croak, but that's the one that's going to have to commit suicide. The Republican Party had to be murdered. The Limbaugh Party is going to commit suicide. Trust me on that. From Prairie 2. Oh, one last thing. Don't even try to call the program, and probably till next Wednesday. That's when the necessary phone equipment and 800 line and so on and so forth will be installed.
We may be able to work a little magic and get something going a little later on this week, at least on a temporary basis. But tonight, no callie, no phony. And I'm not doing any more accents, just for the record.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be the end of my accent.
That was the other thing I wanted to mention. While we were off the air and unable to defend ourselves, apparently somebody, some worm out there in the blogosphere, made the insinuation that we were mocking what's his name, Piyush Jindal, because he is of Indian descent. And I love to see how this kind of stuff happens. As a matter of fact, a couple of people emailed and said, you made it onto O'Reilly's program again. Oh my goodness. Oh, quick, take me to the bathroom before I pee my pants. But it's amazing how this stuff works. That was the other thing. Yeah, that was the other thing I wanted to mention. Somebody's third or fourth rate blog site someplace said that we were mocking with a fake Indian accent. The Kathy used a fake Indian accent. Hello, you're calling Dell Computers. Everybody busy. You know, and the point we were trying to make had nothing to do with Jindal. Absolutely nothing. I mean, Jindal's a jackass. You know, end of story. Had nothing to do with Piyush. It had everything to do with the fact that Dell Computers and every other company in the country has outsourced to India its a service department. And you can't understand them, and they can't understand you. But that's just part of the whole capitalist, predatory capitalist model. You know, don't have call centers in this country where people speak English as not as a second or third language, but as their native language. Oh, no, don't do that, because you'd have to pay those call center people probably a whopping $8 or $9 an hour. Go to India. What are people do not understand and cannot talk and talk like this? So the American ear doesn't understand it. And the Indian ear doesn't understand our dialect, our accent, our inflection. But what was fun to me, and believe me, it was fun, was to watch the mail come in, the email come in, from people who were insisting, you never heard this program before, or ever, and never will, because if they tried to listen to this program, their goddamn heads would explode. But people who hear this stuff on I don't know, O'Reilly, or they read it on some roach-like website someplace, and they go, oh, quick, send an email to Malloy. There's a liberal being a racist. Oh, bite me, for God's sake. But it was fun, and I hope it continues. I love it when you people, and the more you insult us, it goes into or use your foul language, and will some of you please learn how to spell these cuss words you try to use? Oh my God, it's the best humor in the world, and keep it coming, please. But just for the record, we no more insulted Piyush than flew to the moon. Every time Piyush opens his mouth, he insults himself.
Well, the irony is, I was relating the story because I had just spent the day before 4 or 5 hours on 2 different phone calls with Dell trying to get my laptop rebooted.
Talking to someone to fix.
And I spoke to 4 different people, and 2 of them were Bobby, and 3 of them, or a couple more, were Cindy, and I thought they watched the Brady Bunch. And so when the governor said that he loved the name Bobby from the Brady Bunch, and that's sort of why he adopted it, I said, well, I'm not surprised, because, you know, they assigned these poor call screeners an American name, and, right, and they're no more a Bobby or a Cindy or a Marsha or a Greg.
Then you're
a
Piyush.
Then I'm a Piyush. And so I said, how may I give you excellent customer service? I had just spent hours on the phone with a Bobby. Not the governor,
right,
sounded like him.
Right.
Actually, no, he didn't sound like him. The governor's much better spoken.
Right. But the point of all this is just the absolute grinding humor that this kind of rumor is starting. And as far as doing it, I hope that whoever's responsible for getting us onto the O'Reilly mud hole, fine. I mean, keep doing it. Oh, my God. Even though it's O'Reilly's program, still, there are a lot of people who watch that program who are liberals and progressives. Oh, I know who you are, or you know who you are, who watch it for the geek and freak factor. And O'Reilly is just an absolute three-ring circus. He's almost as much of a three-ring circus as the guy he really doesn't like, and that would be the Pig Man. So between these two, it is about the only real political humor left in this country. O'Reilly, unintended political humor. I'm not talking about John Stewart. Oh, my God. But the unintended political humor comes from O'Reilly and the Pig Man. They are both fountains of misinformation, disinformation, absurdities, craziness. It's great fun. And that's why a lot of liberals, a lot of progressives watch the show. Consequently, every time we get mentioned on O'Reilly's program, it ups our listenership, which ultimately will up our ad rates, which ultimately means that we get to stay on the air longer. So please, you little cockroach blog sites, keep talking about us! Yeah! We insulted Paiush! We did racist this! We did racist that! Oh my God! And the pig man, get it out there, and his chest hairs, and shiny suits, and yada yada yada! Keep it going, boys!
You are now entering a flying monkey-free zone.
It's about 10 before the hour. All right, from our economic correspondent, Prairie 2, who writes, the latest threat to capitalism from the new socialist republic is that Obama is going after U.S. corporations that have utilized about 50 tax haven countries to maintain the fiction that they're not really U.S. companies. By paying themselves offshore for any number of things, they're able to show a loss for their U.S. subsidiaries, quote, quote. The offshore parent company consists of nothing more than a P.O. box, but the result is that more than two-thirds of corporations, U.S. corporations, pay no taxes. This has always been completely illegal, but they've gotten a pass these many years. After all, they weren't called the Bush crime family for nothing. The talking point is that we can't let Obama do this because if these companies have to pay the taxes that they owe, they would just pass it along to consumers. That's what the right-wingers tell you. The problem with this logic is that the money they've been stealing is kept offshore. I don't know about you, but I don't get periodic packages of money in the mail from the Cayman Islands with my share of the savings from corporations not paying taxes. Yeah, that's right, Prairie 2. It's incredible. How many times have you heard that the taxes are job killers? Taxes are not job killers. If anything, it's job promoting. Oh my God! The lies that have been put out there, just wall to wall, especially from the pig man, to the point where so many people in this country can't even, I mean, they don't even know what kind of a system we live under. They have no idea why everything they've worked their asses off for is now disappearing. They don't understand it's because corporate America decided to rip them off. And the pig man, Rush Limbaugh, was paid millions upon millions upon millions of dollars to provide the protection racket to keep the Limbaughs diverted while corporate America stole them, ripped them blind, naked, and stupid. It's incredible. Right-wing talk radio is the same as the guy back in the neighborhood who would come in and say, I notice you got big picture windows out there. What stops them from being broken? Well, I don't know. Well, I'll tell you what, $100 a week and they won't get broken. That's exactly what Limbaugh and Savage and Hannity and this whole nest of right-wing, crazy, lying sons of bitches who all cluster together. You can find them all listed in this Rag Talkers magazine. Go online, take a look at it. Blah! There they are. It's a protection racket. Corporate America makes sure. And corporate America that owns 98% of the media outlets, big and small in this country, they make sure that the protection racket is well-fed, look at Limbaugh, well-paid, look at Hannity and all of them, and well-cared for. You know, free passes to the Dominican Republic so they can molest girls, whatever, underage girls, whatever it takes to keep these rat bastards plying their trade, which is to provide protection. Look over here! Look what the Democrats are doing to you! Oh my God! Look what they're doing now! They want to raise the income tax on the upper classes from 33 to 35%. Jesus Christ, how dare they! It's that kind of thing, you see. And the way that these right-wing monsters use the terms that defines what they're about. For example, class warfare. And they turn it around and they say, well, the Democrats are trying to raise the specter of class warfare. No, you fat lying sons of bitches, you're the ones that do it. And you do it constantly, constantly. You use that term. Oh, my God. Well, I never thought that Nixon would go to China, and I never thought that Rush Limbaugh would be the one who put the knife into the Republican Party. Nixon can be applauded for opening up China to the predatory capitalists. Nixon, and in a way, I guess, for stalling whatever kind of a nuclear exchange that the United States and China may someday come to. And Rush Limbaugh can be applauded for putting a knife, a long dagger, into the heart of the Republican Party. It is dead. And I had no idea the past few weeks I've been calling for the murder of the Republican Party that Limbaugh would be the one. Et tu, Limbaugh! And you, Limbaugh! It was he. Unbelievable. So the Republican Party is now dead. The Limbaugh Party has risen from the stench of the Republican Party, and the Limbaugh Party has to commit suicide. And will. You betcha. But it's great fun. It's great fun to watch it happen. I just can't get that image out of my head of Limbaugh at the conservative convention with his black shiny sport coat and his black shiny shirt open down to here. Are there any ladies out there in the audience tonight? I'm not talking about, the tall, skinny broad. I'm not talking about her. Jesus Christ, I can't stand her even. You know, I'm talking about anybody over out there between the ages of, 15 and 19 who wants to get together with a famous person here and, have a beer or an OxyContin, you know, whatever you like, sweetie, I got it. Wow. Welcome back, 7 past the hour.
Malloy program on the Independent or Mike Malloy Network or whatever you want to call it. Where were we? Oh, that's right. We got an email from Suzanne in L.A. who I don't know how many of you are familiar with Andy Borowitz. He has the BorowitzReport.com. But Suzanne sent this to me. Borowitz writes, Limbaugh is rooting for the planet to explode. He says it could help the now dead Republican Party. Borowitz writes, in remarks that seem guaranteed to create controversy, conservative radio host Rush Limbaugh said today that he was, quote, rooting for the planet Earth to explode, end quote, because that would help the Republican Party retake the White House. Mr. Limbaugh elaborated on his planet explosion theory, explaining that if the world blows up in the next 4 years, quote, it will happen on Barack Obama's watch, end quote. Let's face it, he said. The world exploding would be great for the GOP, and Barack Obama knows it. That's why he is doing everything in his power to keep the planet from blowing up, end quote. While asserting that he had his fingers crossed that the planet would detonate sometime in the next 4 years, Limbaugh said that there were other scenarios he found equally appealing. He said, quote, if the population of the U.S. were suddenly afflicted with plagues, locusts, and open sores, that would be fantastic for the Republican Party. I'm rooting for all of those things to happen, end quote. In an appearance on CNN, Republican National Committee Chair Michael Steele seemed to distance himself somewhat from Mr. Limbaugh's remarks, telling Wolf Blitzer, quote, Rush is a great entertainer who just wants to make people laugh, like Bobby Jindal, end quote. Hedging a little, Mr. Steele insisted that despite perceived differences, he and Mr. Limbaugh are on the same page. Quote, Rush is rooting for me to fail, and I am in fact failing, end quote. Andy Borowitz, political commentator, right? Moving from the ridiculous to the really threatening, word is starting to come out now, or the evidence, the memos are starting to come out. L.A. Times and Michael Isikoff writing at Newsweek. Let's start with the Times piece first. Tim Rutten, writing there, explains just how close to the brink of executive tyranny we came in this country in the panic that swept through Bush's administration after 9/11. And if you want to pose that as a question, the answer, it now seems clear, is that we came far closer than even staunch critics of the White House believed. This past Monday, the Obama administration released 9 legal opinions that were produced for the Bush White House by this criminal Justice Department's Office of Legal Counsel shortly after the attacks on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon that the Bush crime family knew about and allowed to happen, in my opinion, anyway. Tim Rutten didn't say that. I say that. The attacks on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. Rutten says, that heretofore obscure office, the Justice Department's Office of Legal Counsel, essentially serves as the president's arbiter of what's legal and what isn't. Now, among other things, these memoranda that were released and were issued by that little office in 2001 asserted that Bush had the power to order the military to capture suspected terrorists on U.S. soil and to treat them as enemy combatants without any rights or due process, nothing. And in the course of such operations, according to the Office of Legal Counsel in the Bush White House, the military was free to ignore Fourth Amendment prohibitions on illegal search and seizure and to engage in warrantless wiretapping. First Amendment protections of free speech also could be suspended at Bush's directive, according to those written legal opinions. And Bush had the power to abrogate any international treaty at will. I mean, this is Hitlerian. This is the kind of stuff that the Nazis did in Germany and justified with their own Office
of legal counsel, whatever it was called. But Hitler had the same thing. The only difference between Hitler and Bush was that the Bush crime family were all cowards. None of them had ever had anything to do with things military, unlike, for example, Hitler. They were essentially the Republican Party before it died, was popular, and even now that it's a Limbaugh party, is chock-a-block with cowards. They're all cowards. Even a monster like Cheney is only a monster to people that he thinks he can intimidate. If the Bush crime family thought for one second that they could have pulled the trigger on all this, they would have. But they were too cowardly. They were too cowardly. I think they understood that even after setting the legal framework within which they could destroy the United States of America, that destruction would demand the cooperation of the United States military. And the United States military does not take an oath to protect and defend the President of the United States. It doesn't even take an oath to protect and defend the United States of America. It takes an oath to protect and defend the Constitution, doesn't it? It damn sure doesn't take an oath to protect a piece of human waste like George W. Bush or Dick Cheney. So, while they set up this framework, and they used all these phony-ass legal opinions written by scum like John Yoo and Alberto Gonzalez, and there's a whole clutch of these bastards who should be arrested and tried for treason. They really should be. What is treason except an attack, an assault, a full frontal attack on the U.S. Constitution? I mean, somebody else define it for me. So that's what they had planned. But because they were cowards, they couldn't pull the trigger. The sons of bitches wanted to. Every one of these little weasels, these little cockroaches, wanted to pull the trigger and turn this country into a fascist state. They had the framework. They had it all set up, but they were cowards. And you know why? I think deep down inside they knew that there were enough military commanders who would have, you know, started to move in the direction of doing what this phony commander-in-chief ordered them, but then they would hesitate and they would say, wait a minute, no, we're not going to do it. And I think that cadre of U.S. military officers would have prevailed and probably would have waited for an order from someone somewhere to arrest Bush, Cheney, and the rest of these pigs. So because the high command of the Republican Party under the Bush crime family were, to the last man and woman, absolute cowards. Even though they set up the framework for all this, these little roachy bastards were afraid to pull the trigger. So now what's coming out are all the memos. The stuff that, remember the Bush crime family passed a law, or a directive, presidential directive, that hid everything. All of their paperwork, all of their memos, all their internal stuff, not just theirs, but Clinton's, Pappy Bush's, going all the way back to Reagan's, Nixon, everything. Everything was going to be off limits, and going forward off limits. That's one of the first things the Obama administration did when it was voted into the presidency. It reversed that order. So now, documents that we never would have seen, memoranda, are coming out. And how far, how close did they come? We'll have some more of this for you when we come back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Is my name, and things in good old Washington will never be the same. Now Dick and Cole and tell me what to say and what to do. They even help me figure out which people I should screw. Oh, I'm George W. Don't you cry for me. I've come all the way from Texas, just as dumb as I can be. Oh, I'm George W.
bang, bang, bang. I love the way you walk, and I love the way you talk.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
And you talk that talk. You knocks me out. Out off of my feet.
21 past the hour. All right, so anyway, this past Monday, the Obama administration released 9 legal opinions that were produced for the Bush White House by this little nest of cowardly Nazis called infested the Justice Department's Office of Legal Counsel. They said that Bush was free to ignore the Fourth Amendment and turn the military against the American people. Where it concerned arrests, warrantless wiretapping, illegal search and seizure. This office also let Bush know that First Amendment protections of free speech could be suspended at his whim, Bush's whim, and that Bush had the power to abrogate any international treaty at his whim. Now, other opinions that they worked out, and keep in mind, we never would have known this. Never would have known this except the Obama administration overturned that directive, keeping all this stuff secret. Other opinions that this gang came up with asserted that Bush, acting under his inherent powers as commander-in-chief, is free to ignore laws passed by Congress and free to ignore cases decided by the Supreme Court, particularly where it concerned the treatment of so-called detainees. Now, what constituted, under the Bush crime family, a state of war? Anything that Bush said was a state of war. War on terror? Jesus Christ, if Nixon would have had this, the war on poverty would have qualified. But this is how far these neo-Nazi bastards went. The only problem here for them, and a blessing for the United States, because for the citizens here, because I think most of this stuff, if not all of it, is going to be turned around. But the blessing was that they were cowards. Every last one of these thugs were afraid to pull the trigger and do this. A bunch of, which is typical of conservatives. All conservatives are cowards. By definition, they are cowards. They're afraid of everything. That's why they are willing to give up freedom for what they consider to be protection. They're cowards. Absolute cowards. Every one of them. Now, another one, an opinion sent to the White House on October 23, 2001, 6 weeks after the attack they engineered on this country. That memo flatly stated that First Amendment, quote, speech and press rights may also be subordinated to the overriding need to wage war successfully. The quote goes on. The current campaign against terrorism may require even broader exercises of federal power domestically. End quote. Now, less than a year later, the same office advised this pissy little coward George Bush that he was free to authorize the torture of detainees. It's astonishing. Bush committed war crimes. He committed crimes as defined by the U.S. Code of the U.S. Code. What constitutes law? Either we're a nation of laws or we're not. Barack Obama or somebody in his administration has an absolute obligation to go after these sons of bitches and bring them to justice of some sort. It has to be done. And if it's not done, as some on the more extreme left are determining, and I don't say I disagree, Obama then could be considered an accessory after the fact in crimes against the United States of America. So it's a very weird line that Obama's walking. Now, granted, these thieves are going nowhere. These criminals are going nowhere. If they step outside the country, they'll probably be arrested, every one of them, and they know it. So they're going nowhere. So Obama's got, he's got time. There are no statute limitations on crimes like treason. So, you know, there's time. We'll see what happens. Now, all of these opinions that I've mentioned so far, vis-a-vis these documents that were released, these memos, all of these were largely the work of John Yoo, That's the guy who is a legal scholar, can you believe that, at the University of California, Berkeley. And I don't get that. Why would a university, a tax-supported university, hire a Nazi like this to pollute the minds of law students? What the hell is going on? Now, currently you, even though he's tenured professor at UC Berkeley, he's a visiting professor at Chapman University School of Law in Orange County. Orange County, is that a taxpayer-supported school? Look, John Yoo belongs at one of these religious universities run by Pat Robertson, where he can teach anything he wants to, because it's funded by the devil. But a tax-supported university that hires somebody who developed memos to allow the President of the United States to legally, quote, overthrow the Constitution? Oh, my God.
Primal Scream, you suppress. Embrace your inner liberal warrior with Mike Malloy.
You know, if you're a former Republican, now Limbaugh, you don't have any inner liberal warrior. You have an inner conservative coward. God, those people are just yellow bellies, aren't they? Oh, my God. Anyway, back to the these memos that have been released by the Obama administration about what the Bush crime family really was about, and it was about installing complete fascism, a complete destruction of the U.S. Constitution, and it was all there. And I can remember over the years, so many people would send me emails, and I joined in the speculation. Mike, do you think they're really going to leave when their length of term that they stole is over? And, you know, I finally got to the point where I said, you know, I have no idea. Why would they be setting up these structures if they planned on leaving? Well, now we know the truth, because they were goddamn cowards, yellow-bellied, stinking cowards. Unlike the Nazi high command, almost to the last, one of them had served in the German military. The Bush high command, none of them had. There might have been maybe one exception, but I can't think who it would have been. The military high command in this country saw the Bush crime family exactly for what it was. A bunch of poseurs who really presented a threat to the Constitution. And I think that the reason these cowardly bastards never did pull the trigger was because there must have been certain members of the U.S. Military command who subtly got word through the chain to Cheney and the rest of these people that if they did attempt to do what their structures, these phony legal structures, would have allowed them to do, that a definite faction of the military in this country would have said no. And then there would have been a real problem. And I think the people who would have suffered the most would have been members of the Bush crime family. When you have something like that occur, the regime in power is usually the one, when the regime is made up of cowards and people who are trying to legally justify their actions, in a manner that, that anyone with a high school education could take a look at and say, oh, wait a second, what do you think you're doing, you little pissants? What do you think you're doing here? Saying that your little war on terror is a real war and therefore gives you constitutional rights as commander-in-chief to suspend everything. Who do you think you're kidding? And there are enough people in the military who knew that and who got the word back up to, this is my theory, got the word back up to Bush. And the rest of these slime balls, you do this, and the country breaks in two. And you will be arrested. Now, whether that happened or not, who knows? All I know is that after having put all of these structures into place, these little piglets were afraid to actually do it. And you've got to wonder why. Well, I think I know why. excuse me. Now, again, the people around Bush who were manipulating the little bastard, like Dick Cheney and his ally, then Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld, who brought to the Bush administration, Tim Rutten writes, an abiding conviction that since the Ford administration, which they both had served, U.S. presidents had suffered a disastrous erosion of executive power. And both these guys, Cheney and Rumsfeld, had become enthusiastic proponents of the unitary executive theory during their years out of power. There is no such thing as the unitary executive theory, except in the minds of these paranoid, brain-addled cowards. You know, Rumsfeld served in the military. He was a desk jockey someplace. So this idea of a unitary executive theory of power, what the hell does that mean? That does not fit into the United States Constitution. We are a tripartite form of government. We have three co-equal branches, each of which, through the use of power granted by the Constitution, can cancel to some degree the actions of the other two. And the Bush crime family couldn't stand that. So they get this ass, John Yoo, and the rest of these thugs, hey, write us some interpretations of the law that says we no longer have three branches of government. Oh, we have three branches, but two of them are just there for window dressing, as it was in Nazi Germany. And that, let's call it the unitary executive theory. That sounds good! Sorry, boys. That only sounds good to Nazis who have the spine to go ahead and act on it. And none of you did, because you knew what would happen. The American people would have crushed your guts out. Now, that's in the LA Times. Michael Isikoff writing at Newsweek. In what is being called over there web exclusive. In the aftermath of the 9/11 attacks, the Justice Department secretly gave the green light for the U.S. military to attack apartment buildings and office complexes inside the United States. Let me repeat that. This is in Newsweek. Michael Isikoff. In the aftermath of the 9/11 attacks, the Justice Department secretly gave the green light for the U.S. military to attack apartment buildings and office complexes inside the United States, deploy high-tech surveillance against U.S. citizens, potentially suspend First Amendment freedom of the press rights in order to combat the terror threat. Now, Isikoff is again referring to these memos released Monday. And he said the memos illustrate with new details the extraordinary post-9/11 powers asserted by Bush administration lawyers. Those assertions ultimately led to such controversial policies as allowing the waterboarding, i.e. torture, of terrorist suspects, and permitting warrantless wiretapping of U.S. citizens, steps that remain the subject of ongoing investigations by Congress and the Justice Department. The memo was co-written by John Yoo, at the time a Deputy Attorney General in the Office of Legal Counsel. Yoo has emerged as one of the central figures in those ongoing investigations. I hope so. I hope they bring this son of a bitch to justice. And I mean severe justice. This is a guy who tried to undermine the Constitution of the United States and single-handedly write legal opinions that would have given the Bush crime family this phony authority to overthrow the United States Constitution. Now, God damn it, if that's not treason, will somebody give me a definition? And the Limbots, the members of the Limbot Party, thumb-sucking cowards to the last one of them, is out there attacking the Obama administration, not because of their economic policies, not because of their foreign policies, but because these memos are being released. And because the Obama administration is trying to administer morphine to the corpse, the near corpse of capitalism, and replace it with a much more logical, reasonable, compassionate form of government called democratic socialism. But the depth, the incredible depth of criminal activity that these people were sinking to in the Bush crime family is, now that it's being revealed, is in a sense astonishing. Not too astonishing for those of us, and you and I, for example, who knew about this, who could surmise it, who understood it, with the little bit that was leaking out in this captured corporate press, that what this Bush crime family was doing. And again, the only difference, you know, it's so easy, and it's a bit shopworn, and I frankly am sick of it too, to use the Nazi model as it applied to the Bush crime family. But what model are you going to use if not that one? That's exactly what they were doing. They were writing interpretations. You know, Germany had a constitution when the Nazis took over. And after worming their way into power, in much the same way as Bush did, they started, the Nazis did, writing legal documents and justifications for what they were about to do. So did Bush. So did John Yoo and Dick Cheney. Now again, when the smoke cleared after World War II, what did we do with the Nazi high command and the civilian high command? We put the sons of bitches on trial for what they did. What are we going to do with Bush and his crime family? The cowardly little rascals that didn't have whatever you want to call it, courage, spine, determination to actually go ahead and do what they had set up to be done. Of course they were cowards. All the more reason to put them on trial and lock the sons of bitches up for the rest of their natural lives. This was treason!
I'm the decider, and I decide what is best, and what's best is for Don Rumsfeld to remain as the Secretary of Defense.
Sitting in a White House garden, talking to the Lord. But my thoughts would be busy, busy hatching if I only had a brain. I am the egghead. I'm the commander. I'm the decider.
Ten before the hour, thanks to the crew. The program was engineered tonight by Kathy Bay with special assistance from Ian Huff. Ben Birch is this program's technical advisor. Sharon Gordy, our military affairs correspondent. Ethical advisors are Bob Alexander and Bridget Wolf. Still, our economic correspondent is Bruce Enberg. The executive producer also is Kathy Bay. A couple of quick emails here. Mike, here's my thought on why Bush and company did not implement any of the plans they had labored to set up. I believe it was never about actually doing any of that stuff, suspending the First Amendment, declaring martial law, etc. I believe they only wanted us to think they might do those things, and worse, If we didn't all just sit down and shut up, the result? The U.S. press corps, silent. Congress, silent. The will of the American dissenter? Well, you get the picture. Oh, yeah. And another result? Billions upon billions stolen. Now that makes sense. And Kathy in Green Bay writes, these people weren't all that bright, were they? As the events of 9/11 faded into distant memory, we all became more emboldened, began to challenge our government more and more. In order to implement their dictatorship-like policies, they would have had to have had more attacks. But more attacks would have meant that they weren't doing their job. They thought this through just like they thought through the invasion of Iraq. A while ago, I began to consider that these folks might be incompetent instead of vile and vicious. Now I've come to understand that they had just enough talent to be both. And regarding the school that John Yoo's teaching at, Dave in San Diego writes, Mike, Chapman University is a private so-called Christian school in Orange County, California. Its president is a right-wing neocon whose ambition is to make the school famous, thus John Yoo. University of California, Berkeley should fire this son of a bitch. How do you have, as a tenured law professor, someone who consciously and deliberately, with memos all over the place, tried to destroy the U.S. Constitution? How do you do that? Oh, my God. Anyway, back to what Isikoff wrote in Newsweek, in perhaps the most surprising assertion from the Bush crime family. The October 23, 2001 memo suggested the president could even suspend press freedom if he concluded it was necessary to wage war on terror. You wrote in a memo entitled Authority for Use of Military Force to Combat Terrorist Activity Within the United States. That was the title of it. Quote, First Amendment speech and First Amendment press rights may also be subordinated to the overriding need to wage war successfully, end quote. Do you understand what this son of a bitch was doing? Isikoff goes on to say, this claim was viewed as so extreme that it was essentially and secretly revoked, but not until last October. 7 years after the memo was written, and with barely 3.5 months left in the Bush administration, they tried to hide it. Not only did they rescind it, but they were counting on the fact that Bush had signed a directive that declared all of the papers that were generated within the Bush crime family, all of them, would be forever closed off to the American public. Well, guess what, you little sons of bitches? You got caught. Now, what happens? Don't know. Kate Martin, the director of the Center for National Security Studies, a Washington think tank, said the newly disclosed memo by you and Robert Delahunty, another Office of Legal Counsel lawyer, was part of a broader legal reasoning that gave Bush essentially unfettered power. That means that what you and the rest of these people were doing, this unitary executive semantic garbage, no. Dictator. Absolute. Complete. Total power within the hands of the people manipulating Bush. Son of a bitch. And there is debate in this country about whether or not these people should be investigated, and once the investigation is over, arrested and brought to trial for treason against the United States? If that is true, then what, goddammit, constitutes treason against the United States? Somebody tell me. And not you little right-wing half-wits. Well, Obama is a treason. You know, go away. Just go away. Don't ever want to hear from you. But if an attempt to destroy the Constitution of the United States, and in the process, our system of government, if that's not treason, what is? What constitutes treason? And is treason a punishable offense? In some situations, it is punishable by a firing squad or hanging. What is it in the case of the Bush crime family? Is it still treason? Or, like Nixon said, if the president does it, it's not illegal. Is that the way we're going to allow this filthy Bush administration that destroyed us. Look at us. Look at us, God damn it. Look! Look at what they did. Now, aside from their incompetence, the criminal activity that these people perpetrated against the United States Constitution, again, if that doesn't define treason, then somebody has got to come up with a different definition. And if it was treason, and it was, what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? The Limbaugh Party is saying,
well, now they just want to pick on George Bush because it was policy differences.
No, no. These were not policy differences. These were not political differences. This was an attempt to destroy the country and the Constitution in terms of our economic system, as corrupt as it was, in terms of our foreign policy, in terms of so much about this country. They succeeded in destroying it. But the Constitution of the United States, an attempt to destroy that, by definition, is treason. What are we going to do about it? I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.